When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It's the first day of the month of September. It is, of course, football season here on Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for making us part of your day. On this afternoon, we got plenty of fantasy football to talk about. Of course, college football is upon us here for another week. Some huge games tomorrow on Thursday night. We're going to get into that as well. Cutdown day yesterday in the NFL. Major League Baseball going on as well, closing out the season. Davis, lots to get to here on today's show. It's good to be with you again.
Lots and lots of stuff to get to on today's show. Lots of small roster shakeups. You know, we have the Irv Smith Jr. injury, the Chris Herndon trade for the Minnesota Vikings. But we are definitely to the point of the offseason where every single day we could honestly do 2 hours of nothing but news and notes on the NFL. You know, we have guys being added on the physically unable to perform list, guys being placed on short-term IR. We got guys getting cut. We have guys getting, this guy's starting, not this guy. So it's a very exciting time to be doing fantasy football right now.
Yeah, let's just ignore the Mets yesterday. I don't know what happened in their two games against Miami. I didn't even pay attention. Maybe Miami won those games. I'm not really sure. We'll get back to that in a second. Here are our headlines here on the show as we begin. Deshaun Watson, no surprise, he's on the Texans 53-man roster, but a little bit of a surprise is it looks like one of the Miami Dolphins players may have leaked as a source to ESPN, because they reported yesterday that Brian Flores held a meeting reminding the team that Tua was their quarterback going into the season. Also, the Dolphins were defending different reports yesterday as well about the owner wanting Deshaun Watson. And so this story just continues and probably will continue, I would say, right up until the first game next week. Wander Franco, what a rookie season he's having. 31 straight games he's been on base. He's chasing a major league record in his rookie season. Incredible. Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts, one of the many Boston Red Sox who test positive for COVID. So he is going to be out. And Davis, you get your wish tonight. College football is back. UAB, Jacksonville State. And the Blazers are -16.5 tonight. Also should mention, like Chris did in the update there, the Saints game moved to Jacksonville. So anything you want to touch on here, Davis, the floor is yours. What piques your interest most?
You know what? I'm actually pretty interested in Wander Franco, because there is this interesting element at play where he barely has played this season relative to other rookies in the American League, right? If we're talking about rookie of the year wagering, and that means that he is, you know, kind of further down the betting markets. And I'm wondering, who do you think the American League rookie of the year should be, right? Like, isn't that a fairly interesting question in terms of who the American League Rookie of the Year should be? There are a couple different candidates, but part of the purist in me thinks, well, shouldn't Wander Franco be the American League Rookie of the Year because he has been the best rookie when he's played?
Yeah, no, look, I think that that's definitely a good suggestion. I mean, Boston called up Jaron Duran. You know, the White Sox had Madrigal for a period of time, and obviously he got hurt too. I think it's probably going to go right down to the wire, would be my estimation on that. But, you know, certainly Tampa, no stranger to a lot of their rookies getting called up and having really good seasons. We saw McClanahan also pitch for them this year. So it's possible. It's possible. It comes down to the end. I mean, you're talking about chasing names like Mel Ott, and that goes back like 100 years before I even watched baseball. It's a really impressive run for him, for sure. Going back to NFL, let's go back to this, Davis. The Watson rumors continue. And yesterday, essentially, the Dolphins have made the choice of not acknowledging publicly that they are interested in Watson. But then when a Pro Football Talk report came out yesterday stating that the owner wanted Deshaun Watson, every single reporter in South Florida said a Dolphins source says it's not true. And let me tell you exactly what happens. The PR department tells them that this is what we're being told. Now, Davis, the only reason why is because the owner saw the report, obviously, and then, you know, told the team, hey, make sure you deflect this and say it's not true. Otherwise, the Dolphins never would have acknowledged it. But it just goes to show you they're willing to acknowledge sometimes, just not others. And that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, and you could probably correct me if I'm wrong. This is my reading on the situation. The man who owns the team, the Miami Dolphins, I think would like to bring Deshaun Watson in. And I think everyone who's actually in the building every single day does not want him. I think that probably the front office would love to have, again, what's the biggest competitive advantage in the NFL? Having a good quarterback on a rookie contract. Brian Flores works with Tua every single day, right? Those guys are hip to hip planning what their offense is going to be. And they probably feel very optimistic about what Tua has put on film in the preseason. They probably are very impressed with what he has done in practice. But you know who's not sitting there at practice? The owner of the team, right? Like, that guy's not watching Tua go through the drills in practice. Like, he doesn't care. He just knows that, you know, I mean, he watches Deshaun Watson on TV like the rest of us, and is, you know, everything else aside, when Deshaun Watson is on a football field, he is a very good NFL quarterback. And so my guess is probably that is where the rumors are stemming from, but I don't think that many people inside the Dolphins building want to bring him in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure about that one way or the other. I don't have info on that. But what I can tell you is, in my opinion on this, is that the Dolphins, if they can get Deshaun Watson for next to nothing, I mean, every team should be doing this. That's really the truth. In the end, there should be 15 teams that are willing to take him on and park him for a year and collect the asset and see what happens. I hate to say it like that, but that's just kind of the view. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. One of the interesting times of the year is doing this show here on Sports Grid and doing it with Davis is that people watch the show, go figure, and I start hearing from people that I haven't heard from, Davis, literally in like a year. Like, it's fantasy football season when I start getting the texts as if I am going to lead them to a championship when they're asking me questions. This is happening today, like even before the show. Like, who do I take in the bleeping first round? Like, if you really need my advice of who to take in the first round, trust me, you got a much bigger problem ahead of you in fantasy. But I am more interested, Davis, in helping out people with the later round picks, because that's what wins you the draft. Everyone's just going to take whoever they're going to take, probably in the first two rounds. I mean, it's just kind of slotted that way in these snake drafts. Auction's a little different. You're paying for players. So let's get started and deal with this to make it easy on me, because I'm just going to steal your guys and I'm going to text these guys, hey, here's the guys to get late. So give me a couple of them, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we have a couple curated wide receivers here. You know, and these are just names of guys who are going late. And by the way, I completely understand what you're talking about. I mean, my text messages in the last week of August and the first week in September, it's, you know, guys I went to high school with, guys I went to college with, you know, my girlfriend's friends, boyfriends, you know, just everyone's like, oh, you know, who do I take here? Look at this draft. What, you know, did the draft that I do go well? Like, it's just because they know, like, I'm the fantasy football guy. So I definitely know what you're talking about. And you know what I've done? Craig, I have a list in the notes app of my phone. When someone texts me, who should I take in my draft? I have a list of guys. It's about 15 guys.
Oh,
I copy
great.
And paste it, and I send it to people. That I don't even have to think. I just copy, I paste it.
Can you
it,
do
and
that?
I send
can you send
them.
That to me, please? Can you send that to me, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I will. And
thank
this
you.
Guy oh. we're about to talk about, yeah, Paris Campbell, the Indianapolis Colts wide receiver, is actually on my list, you know, depending on, you know, 14 team league, 16 team league, 12 team league, 16 roster spots, 20 roster spots. I don't know if he necessarily needs to be rostered in shallower leagues, but the thing that I like about Paris Campbell, at least from, you know, there's that great Family Guy scene. And I bring this up all the time when talking about fantasy football. It could be anything, even a boat, right? And Paris Campbell could be anything, even a boat. He could be the best wide receiver on the Indianapolis Colts. We barely got to see this guy play at the NFL level. He has been injured every single year of his career. He looked very good last year. He played in two games. I mean, he literally played in two games. He got nine targets and then he got hurt. And as a rookie, he only played in seven games. So really, I mean, we could say he's been a bust up until this stage in his career, but we don't really know because we have such a limited sample of seeing him play. If Carson Wentz plays something like he did in 2017, and if Paris Campbell stays healthy, T.Y. Hilton is already injured. Michael Pittman is a pure boundary wide receiver. I actually think Campbell is a pretty good late round flyer.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And again, they're going to have a quarterback throwing to him. And I don't know that they will in the first week or the second week. And who knows what Wentz is at this point, but definitely a viable option. And the most important part of that, too, is availability. And T.Y. Hilton will not be available first week of the season. Okay. Now for a player that we haven't talked about in a couple of years, and he's shown some flashes in the past, but, you know, for me with the Lions this season, Davis, and I used to fall into this boat in fantasy, which is someone's got to catch the ball, right? Someone's got to catch the – and it never works out like that. The team just stinks. But Tyrell Williams is basically one of the last guys standing here for the Lions. He had 197 receptions over the course of his career, over 3,000 yards, 23 touchdowns. And there was a very short window, I believe. It may have been with the Raiders. I don't recall. But there was a very short window with a team where we thought maybe Williams would be a thing. Lions cut Perryman. I do understand that. Confidence offensive line, low. Confidence quarterback, low. Confidence, honestly, in the team, low. So sell me here on Williams.
Yeah, I am not going to sell you on Williams because I wanted him to be in here to actually include an example of a guy to not take a late round flyer on. Mm. You are going to be able to find 100 guys like Tyrell Williams over the course of the season, right? Couple wide receiver injuries happen for the Jaguars and all of a sudden, you know, we're adding Tavon Austin on the waiver wire, right? Couple guys get injured for the Chiefs and we're adding Darius Fountain. A couple guys get injured for the Jets. We're adding Denzel Mims. Tyrell Williams literally has zero breakout potential. He is heading into his age 29 season. He's only ever had one 1,000-yard season. That came back for not the Raiders, but actually the last year that they were the San Diego Chargers, he had a 1,000-yard season that year when the other wide receivers were Dontrell Inman, Travis Benjamin, and that was the last year of Antonio Gates' career. So Williams playing on this awful team in Detroit, you are exactly right. What people are saying to themselves is, well, who else are they going to throw the ball to? And the answer is, it just literally might not matter. They might be such a non-productive passing offense that they don't produce any wide receiver that finishes in the top 30 in PPR fantasy points. And I'm actually betting that is what happens, that the only guys you want on fantasy on the Lions are going to be Hockenson and Swift, assuming that he is healthy. So I think he is a perfect example of a guy to not spend one of your later round picks on because his level of replaceability is so high.
And I've been guilty of that in the past. I used to use that lazy excuse, someone's got to catch the ball. And then I realized after doing that a couple years in fantasy, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. And I'm even with that on Hockenson. Oh, someone's got to catch. No, I mean, Hockenson had a million targets last season. You saw the very best of Hockenson last year with Matthew Stafford. So I'm in agreement here. I no longer do that anymore. Same thing with the Texans too. Brandon Cooks. Oh, someone's got to catch. No, it doesn't work like that with the bad teams in the NFL. Okay, let's close it out with the Green Bay Packers. And look, third year in a row that someone is going to take a shot, Davis, on Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And of all three receivers that we're going to talk about here, this guy actually did, for a very short period of time, get you real excited about what he could possibly be. And he's played with Rodgers. He's caught these bombs. And then you think all of a sudden, wow, he's going to be a thing. He reminds me of Allison, right? They had him too. Geronimo Allison was like in that same boat a little bit. Scantling a little bit better. What about him going into this year? Is there a chance he takes finally a step, or more likely no?
No, I actually think MVS is a great example of our cognitive bias on guys who burn us a little bit. So the one year where he actually burned people was in 2019. He was decent as a rookie, played in 16 games, earned 73 targets. Now, he only caught 38 passes that season. But as a rookie for the Green Bay Packers, he was able to come in and actually be their second wide receiver, outproduce Randall Cobb, outproduce, you know, some of the other guys, Allison, Equanimeous St. Brown, Ty Montgomery, guys like that. And so we really drafted him very highly in 2019. He really disappointed that season. Wasn't even able to start. Remember, got replaced by Allen Lazard. Devontae Adams even got injured that year, and he still was not able to do anything. And then last season, led the NFL in yards per reception, averaged 11 yards per target, scored 6 touchdowns, and everything that we are hearing from Packers beat writers, all of them, every single one says MVS looks like a star, looks amazing, has fixed some of the issues with drops, with concentration. And just due to the fact that MVS burned us in recent memory means that we are disregarding the performance that he put on the field last season. And, you know, look at who his quarterback is. His quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. He has made less physically talented players than MVS fantasy value. MVS is, he's 26 years old. He ran a 4.340. He's 6'4". He's 210 pounds. I mean, this guy is, he's really good to me. And I think he is being really undervalued right now.
Yeah, and look, the Packers are one of those teams that outside of Adams, they really still probably don't have a clear-cut number two wide receiver. Maybe this is the year for Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Well, coming up next, we talk about some late-round quarterbacks in fantasy. We're closing in on your draft, and especially for those of you in two quarterback leagues, who may be your second quarterback? We'll touch on it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Easy part of the draft is identifying the Patrick Mahomes's, the Josh Allen's, Lamar Jackson's, Tom Brady's, Aaron Rodgers'. Hard part is to pick up on those late round quarterbacks and hope to get 40 touchdowns and 4,000 passing yards. Well, that's not an easy thing to do, especially when you're drafting guys at the end. So, Davis, we're going to talk about some potential late round quarterbacks and maybe what they will add to the table. And certainly none of these are going in the first 8-9 rounds unless you're playing in a super flex league. So beyond that, who are we going to start off with that you have taken in some of your fantasy drafts thus far?
Yeah, I mean, everyone kind of gets the basic idea here. Everyone knows Mahomes and Kyler and Lamar and Dak. And I think, to me, the elite quarterback tier extends to Justin Herbert, who goes as the quarterback 8. I think you kind of get yourself in trouble overpaying for the Brady, Stafford, Burrow tier of quarterbacks. So, you know, you're kind of better off just pushing it truly later. And what I wanted to do in this segment is just, explore what would the possible upside be for some of the guys who are going, you know, basically free in a 12-team one quarterback draft? And the first guy is Sam Darnold. And I feel like Darnold, obviously, he put nothing but bad film out when he was a member of the New York Jets. But of course, that was also true of Ryan Tannehill, right? Remember how bad Ryan Tannehill looked? You were intimately familiar down there in South Florida with how bad Ryan Tannehill looked. Got away from Adam Gase, turned into, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is kind of like a fantasy stud now. He runs a little bit. He's got AJ Brown. He's got Julio Jones. And Sam Darnold finds himself in the same situation. He goes to an incredibly intelligent offensive coordinator in Joe Brady, and he finds himself with the best pass-catching running back in the league. He's got DJ Moore. He's got Robbie Anderson. He's got Terrace Marshall. And also, remember, Darnold can run a little bit. Now, the guy is not Cam Newton or Lamar Jackson running the ball, but he can scoot around a little bit, and I think we could expect him to maybe run for 300 yards and maybe crack in three or four rushing touchdowns, kind of depending on if he gets lucky with a long one. Remember that Thursday night rushing touchdown that he did where he kind of just was ambling for 55 yards through the defense and he found himself in the end zone in the end? Like, I would say he's comparable as a rusher to like Rodgers, right? Rodgers at his peak, 400 rushing yards, four rushing touchdowns was kind of what Rodgers did. And he could do that. So I have really warmed to Sam Darnold as a late round quarterback candidate. And if he's bad, if he is Jet Sam Darnold, you cut him. You cut him and you move on.
Yeah. Did you go back at all? And I know that this is probably more of a video question than statistical question, because I'm not really sure what the answer was. I know we had Antoine Staley on last week talking about this, but what was it about, what is your opinion as to what happened to Teddy Bridgewater after the first, I don't know, seven games, eight games? Because, like, he looked so good. Like, it looked like he was, like, you know, back when he was within his first year in Minnesota, and then things went sideways a little bit, and then they played that other guy, whatever his name was, and then they ended up benching and bringing him back. Did you identify that at all? Because, like, is it possible that Brady, whoever gets his hands on, like, fixes the guy immediately, then the other team eventually watches film and figures, oh, we can figure this guy out? Like, that would be my concern with Darnold. Starts off real well, we buy in, and then same thing happens.
Well, I mean, what happened to Teddy overall is the catastrophic knee injury, right? I mean, that was what happened to Teddy as a quarterback, right? So he has that catastrophic knee injury in the preseason of 2016.
No, I'm talking about last year.
I think the answer with Teddy is he just does not have the arm talent, right? Sam Darnold has the arm talent. You see some of the throws that Sam Darnold makes and you're like, okay, like, he can put the ball where it needs to go. He's got the zip. You watch Teddy throw a pass and he kind of doesn't even really look like a quarterback. Now, he's very accurate. Teddy, like, puts the ball exactly where it needs to go, but he just doesn't really fire them in there. And I literally think it's that simple. It's in his head. Teddy knows that about himself. And when a quarterback is in their own head about not taking chances, the book has basically been written. And if you take away, you just leave a quarterback to work in the short and intermediate areas, you can suffocate an offense.
Yeah, he was one of the best high school quarterbacks in the history of South Florida, by the way, interestingly enough. Okay, up, Jameis Winston time. Here we go again. 2019, 5,000 passing yards, 250 rushing yards, 34 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. So, Davis, here we go. Go ahead. Make your case for Jameis Winston. I got my case. Here it is. Jameis Winston's going to look really good for about 2 weeks, and then it's just going to fall apart and we'll be laughing about it. That's my prediction.
I mean, I don't even have to make the case for Jameis Winston because everyone already knows it. And it's that the Saints decide the only way for them to win games is to let him do his thing. And there is, there's this temptation to say that his legendary season that we led the NFL in passing yards, 34 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, like, oh yeah, he played with, you know, he had Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Actually, and I bet this is a little bit of trivia you would not know, his best passing game came in a game where Mike Evans was inactive. Rashad Perryman had three touchdowns in that game.
Three touchdowns.
Scotty had another touchdown, and O.J. Howard was prominently involved in that game. I think that Jameis Winston, for periods, can look like an all-pro quarterback throwing to a bunch of scrubs, because Jameis has the exact opposite problem of Teddy. Super live arm, not very accurate, and completely trusts his arm to make every throw. I mean, that preseason touchdown throw to Marquez Callaway, you know the number of NFL quarterbacks who throw that throw? It's Jameis and Mahomes, and that's it. Those are the only guys who would even try to do that. So with Jameis, you are just riding the circle of variance, right? You are hoping for a couple 404 games, and you're hoping that he doesn't get benched for Taysom the other times that you start him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, Winston starting throughout the season may not be a great candidate, but in a week or two, if you can figure out the week, he's going to win a week for you. And DFS, too, as well. All right, Ben Roethlisberger, I think it's fair to say this is going to be his final season. At least with Pittsburgh. I don't know if he's going to choose to go somewhere else. But last season, 3,800 passing yards. The Steelers got off to that tremendous start, and he threw for 33 touchdowns. I mean, overall, for just a standard quarterback, this looks pretty good. But his second half was pretty troubling, Davis. They started losing some games. It looked like he didn't have the arm strength. And yeah, he had the issues with the receivers dropping balls. That is true. It felt like his best games was when they figured out how to get the ball to Claypool. And then that slowed down also in the second half of the season. So Roethlisberger, again, can pretty much be had as what, 16th quarterback in fantasy this year, 17th, like that deep, right?
I mean, even later than that, on Underdog, which is the big best ball fantasy football platform that everyone's playing on, he goes as the 25th quarterback off the board. And again, wow. not very hard to see the upside case. Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Eric Ebron, Pat Freiermuth, James Washington, bad offensive line. The team wants to commit themselves to be a running team. That is, you know, they drafted Najee Harris in the first round. The Rooneys, the family that own the Pittsburgh Steelers, say, we want Najee Harris because we want to run the ball better. But everyone, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. The Steelers are going to come into these games and start trying to run the ball, and they're going to find that it's very difficult to do. And given how talented those wide receivers are, if Ben can stay healthy and they actually choose to lean on those wide receivers as opposed to just running for 3 yards in a cloud of dust with Najee Harris, I actually think Ben can be like the 12th or 13th best quarterback in fantasy, even without playing that well himself, because those three wide receivers are just so good. Like, he just is coming in with such an advantage with those three wide receivers. So in a lot of these drafts, especially where I'm taking a second quarterback, I actually like to take Ben because I like all of his wide receivers. I like Juju. I like Deontay. I'm okay on Deontay. I really like the other two. I really like Juju, and I really like Claypool. So I if you're looking at just your prototypical late-round quarterback, just give me 19 points for the first couple weeks while I try to figure out and see if there's a rushing upside guy to take. I don't think it really gets much better than Ben Roethlisberger.
And Pat Freiermuth in store for a big season at tight end, maybe, for Pittsburgh. Who knows? Okay, let's close it out with Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins, who was up and down last season for sure. They won a lot of games when he was at quarterback. He certainly has a lot more weapons this season. And there is a massive lack of distrust in fantasy with Tua. It's like people want him to be good, but they're still not willing to draft him in fantasy, Davis. Are you?
Yeah, I am. I have become, I tweeted this the other week, I am like really bullish on him. It looks like he is completely healed from that hip injury. And it's sometimes things are very simple. Tua looked pretty bad as a rookie relative to what we expected, relative to what he put on film at Alabama. He was 8 months removed from fracturing his hip. Think about what a quarterback does. Think about where a quarterback would generate their velocity. Think about what Tua did really well at Alabama. He was very mobile. He was a great scrambler. He created a lot of space for himself in the pocket. Going to be pretty hard to do that when you don't really trust your body. He wasn't really trusting his hips. He wasn't trusting himself when he planted. So yeah, no duh. He looked pretty bad relative to what we expected. I am all in on Tua. He is my most drafted quarterback in best ball right now. I love the addition of Fuller. I love the addition of Jalen Waddle, by the way, to his college teammate. Always love to see that. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Gesicki is a really good receiving tight end. And Devontae Parker is a third wide receiver or a second wide receiver while they wait for Waddle to get up to speed. I mean, pretty good, right? Like, he's very much set up to succeed.
Yeah, they have the weapons. Like any excuse on him this year will be invalid, Davis. Like they have enough around him. Do they have a great running back? Nah, probably not. But their offensive line is good enough. The running back will be good enough. And the receivers are very good. And as you mentioned, Gesicki, I never would have thought Gesicki would have been as good as he is. His first year, he looked like a bust. All right, we'll talk player props next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Those of you who are watching our show and maybe you're about to go have a good lunch wherever you are, tell us what's on the menu. Maybe you want to let us know on social media. Just go to our Twitter handle, @SportsGrid and @SportsGridTV. That is the best way to engage with us. Tell us what you like, what you dislike, our opinions, predictions, facts, everything that we have here. 18 hours of live programming here on SportsGrid, and some of it is posted there. @SportsGrid, @SportsGridTV. Make sure you download Twitter if you haven't already. If you're playing fantasy, my guess is you have, and you are just like, Craig, what are you talking about? I have it already. Well, look, if you're watching us, why not, you know, also follow us on Twitter. Follow Davis on Twitter, @DavisMatic, me on Twitter, @CraigMish. Also, a quick note here, Davis, before we get to our player props. The Dallas Cowboys have a new, at least third-string quarterback, maybe backup. Will Greer was signed by the Cowboys, who we talked about earlier in the week. I was a big fan of Will Greer at the University of Florida. Carolina spent what I would call a relatively high pick on Will Greer, not like a, you know, first round pick or anything like that, but somebody they thought maybe could work out, and he did not. And so I would suppose is he the best backup quarterback Dallas has at this point? I mean, that could be fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, Will Greer, who basically is terrible at in the NFL. And by the way, I liked Will Greer too, as a prospect coming out of West Virginia. I thought he was going to be really good. I was like pumping the bags, and I was excited when Carolina took him. I thought there was a chance that he would take over as their starting quarterback eventually, but he just has not been good in the NFL. Yeah. That being said, not good in the NFL, pretty big step up from what Cooper Rush and Ben DiNucci have been. So we will welcome him with open arms in Dallas. Will, we are glad to have you on the roster, and we hope that you could recapture some of that magic that you had at West Virginia.
Yeah, really good at West Virginia, great at Florida, and we were so upset when Greer left, but he was not guaranteed the starting job, and that's what happened. Okay, let's go to some FanDuel props here, and let's start taking a look at the running back position. We're going back to touchdowns today, and our first subject is Najee Harris, running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You could go to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now and bet the over -126 to win $100 at 7.5. The under, of course, is also juiced at -102. He was a flat-out phenomenon at Alabama in 2020. He rushed for 26 touchdowns last season, but that was college. Davis, this is pro. The Steelers have had a ton of success with running backs in the NFL. Do I need to go through this list of Le'Veon Bell and James Conner and Willie Parker and Jerome Bettis and Barry Foster? I could keep going. Like, they always use their running backs well until last year. Kind of felt like the change was last year. So here they are spending a high pick on Harris. Do they give him the ball at the goal line 15 times and get him over 7.5 touchdowns this year?
Look, I don't even like Najee Harris for fantasy. I never take him when I'm on the clock. Someone always likes him more than me. I slightly prefer Joe Mixon. I definitely prefer Antonio Gibson. I definitely prefer Jonathan Taylor. I even honestly prefer Clyde Edwards-Helaire, though that is a very unpopular fantasy football opinion. But how in the heck does he not go over 7.5 rushing touchdowns? And, like, you know, the line obviously indicates that at FanDuel. It's -126 on the over, -102 on the under. But this team has, I mean, we were just talking about it in the last segment with Ben Roethlisberger, the literal owner of the team said, we need Najee Harris. Please draft Najee Harris with our first round pick. We need to be better at running the ball. They cut Jalen Samuels, so their only other backup running backs now are Anthony McFarland and Benny Snell. those are not guys who are going to be pushing Najee Harris for touchdowns. So I think even if Najee doesn't have a long rushing touchdown all year long, you know, like doesn't break off a 50-yarder at any point, I think he probably gets to 7.5 just from goal line touchdowns, just from getting the ball inside the 5-yard line, you know, bad offensive line, it doesn't matter. Like I am being like too bullish here for a player that I don't have a ton of in fantasy, but this line in particular just it screams bad. I'm trying to check my, yeah, I have him easily projected over this, and I don't even have a big projection on him.
Interesting. Okay, well, Saquon Barkley, and another player who would, you know, portend to go way over a total if he was healthy for 17 games, and clearly the rushing total of touchdowns on FanDuel indicates there's a chance he won't be, because his number is 8.5, although very heavily slanted here. You're risking -130 on FanDuel to win 100. On these props, I hate doing anything more than like -110. I'd rather shop and get a, and, you know, get a 9 somewhere, honestly, Davis, and just fight for that push. He was hurt last year, missed the entire season. If Barkley doesn't score on the goal line, I guess the question, who will? But Barkley has been known to break off 20, 30, 40, 50-yard rushing touchdowns. And Barkley is such a mystery to me, man. Like, I have not seen the guy play in training camp. I have not seen the guy play in the preseason. And I'm just going off writer assumptions. And I suppose that's all we have at this point. What do you think? 8.5.
So the way that I have Saquon Barkley projected is, it's probably controversial, but I have him projected like he is going to show up week 1 for the New York Giants and be their starting running back. We're not going to be dealing with any Devontae Booker. We're not going to be dealing with any Elijah Penny. And, you know, if you really go down the list of running backs in the NFL who have the ability to put up a similar workload to Christian McCaffrey, I think it's Dalvin Cook in Minnesota, but even they have Alexander Mattison. Maybe Ezekiel Elliott, but Tony Pollard is basically the best backup running back in the league. I mean, I guess you could include Kareem Hunt in that conversation, but I definitely think that that Pollard would fit there. Barkley has no backup. The Giants have a horrible offensive line, so they are going to be very willing to throw the ball to Barkley. They're going to be very willing to try and get the ball to him in space. Like, their primary mode of trying to get first downs and move down the field is going to be to give Saquon Barkley the ball. So the way that I have him projected is, I just have Barkley projected like a straight up starting running back that's going to be used the way that he has historically been used when he's been active. So I have him going over this. However, I actually don't think I would bet it, if that makes sense. We talked about one of these examples yesterday, because I think a very real scenario is the Giants are 1-7. It's week 8. Barkley, you know, plants wrong and he feels something go in his knee a little bit. Maybe he could play. Maybe he needs to take a week off. But what's the incentive for Barkley to come back? And I feel the same way about Kenny Golladay too. These guys are going to be playing on a terrible team that has no hope of winning their division. Why would Barkley, why would Golladay, why would any of these guys sacrifice their bodies for a losing football team? And now NFL players don't always think that way. But I would basically go under on this just as an arbitration. Like, I don't know. You are right, though. Saquon Barkley, huge mystery. Guy could have 400 touches this season, or he could be the biggest fantasy bust in the first round.
It's a very scary player. And I would not go by carries in the preseason, but no training camp, almost no training camp, no preseason. And from what I've read, and I don't really hear a lot about him. It's just kind of like expected to be there and expected to play. Somebody asked me about him today and said, what do you think? I said, I think you're going to be really disappointed in the first 2 weeks, and then he could win your league, or maybe not. And that's not giving a good answer. All right, Aaron Jones from the Green Bay Packers, 9.5 on FanDuel, 9 rushing touchdowns in 2020. So the natural thing is, oh my gosh, Jamal Williams is gone. This is going way over. Well, not so fast. They used Jamal Williams a lot, Davis, near the goal line. It looked like they started to give A.J. Dillon some goal line carries, too. If Jones is healthy for 17 games, this dude is going to rush for like 1,600 yards again, maybe even more. But they definitely have used several running backs at the goal line, so Jones sometimes has to do his own work. I also remember games, Davis, where Jones seems to break 30-yard, 40-yard runs and finds himself on the 1 and the two, and then coming out of the game and somebody else comes in. I don't know why I'm like visioning that, but what do you think? 9.5 this year, -118 on the over, 108 on the under.
I mean, you know, you already know the worst nightmare scenario here, which is that he gets all of his touchdowns via receiving, and A.J. Dillon and his monstrous quads come in at the 3-yard line and push that pile. So the line is 9.5. I have Aaron Jones projected for 9.53 rushing touchdowns, right on the line. And in general, my projections are going to skew a little bit more conservative with rushing touchdowns because just that's just the nature of projections. And they, you know, they, kind of the way you do it is, okay, you got to give A.J. Dillon 2.5 rushing touchdowns. You got to give Kylan Hill 0.7 rushing touchdowns. You got to give Aaron Rodgers 2.3 rushing touchdowns. Now, that's not the uniform distribution that you have in preseason will never happen in the regular season, right? One of those guys is going to way undershoot their projection, and one of those guys is going to way overshoot their projection, especially if the Green Bay Packers are as good on offense as we expect them to be. My heart says to take the over on Aaron Jones, that he has just been such an insanely good touchdown producer when Aaron Rodgers has been playing well as his quarterback. The other part of my heart, though, I guess my heart is torn in two directions here, is A.J. Dillon was like built in a lab to score rushing touchdowns. It's like that's what he did at Boston College when he got his NFL debut. Remember that snow game against the Tennessee Titans where they were blowing him out at halftime? The guy came in and basically looked like I'm totally losing like a great big 1990s NFL running back, but like just very much in that archetype of just a 240-pound bruiser who no one could tackle. Marion Barber, right? Looked like Marion Barber. And I think the Packers are going to use him that way. I think that A.J. Dillon is going to be a real drain on the rushing touchdown potential for Aaron Jones. And considering I have it projected so close, injury stuff, week 18 rest stuff, I'm going to go under on Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I'll give you an 80s guy, Marion Butts. Google him. You probably haven't heard of him before, but that was exactly the comp that I've heard on him. Marion Butts, B-U-T-T-S on the Chargers. Okay, Joe Mixon, Cincinnati Bengals. What kind of season are they going to have? Boy, I don't know. So much variance on them this year. Some people love them. Some people hate them. Mixon missed a lot of last season, so I'm going to throw out 2020 in terms of the stats, and they were in no rush to bring him back, Davis, at the end of the season. They don't have Bernard there anymore, really no clear-cut running back behind him. If Mixon plays 15 games, Davis, I think he busts way over this thing. I again, it's a health issue for me with him.
It is a health thing, but I actually think this is even worse than the Najee line because – yes, Joe Mixon has struggled with health. Yes, they have had a bad offensive line and everything like that. But this will be the best quarterback situation he's ever been in. They add Ja'Marr Chase into this offense. There just are going to be a lot of scoring possessions for the Cincinnati Bengals, I think. And the market, I think, is actually underrating them a little bit because if Burrow plays like he did at LSU and Ja'Marr Chase plays like he did at LSU and you have Boyd, you know, one of the better slot wide receivers in the NFL, you have T. Higgins, who might just be the best wide receiver on the team as a whole. I think they are going to be a pretty finely tuned machine on offense. And of course, it would be easy to say, okay, Mixon's going to get hurt. I'm going under. But I'm projecting him for 17 games. I think his ability or his chances of getting hurt is basically the same as every other running back. I'm going over on Joe Mixon, 7.5.
All right. So over on Mixon. And we'll see, you know, certainly what happens with Harris. It looks like Davis's two favorites here are Harris on the over and Mixon on the over. All right, we'll wrap up the first hour of Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. Coming up next, we have Chris also at the top of the hour, a little bit later, Fantasy or Reality. Matt Friedman's going to be with us here on the show as well. So plenty more to come. Stay on the grid. More fantasy football talk coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. ESPN reports, Davis, that Rashad Perryman has found his new team. It's the Chicago Bears. The Bears, clearly in the offseason parting ways with Anthony Miller, maybe looking for an extra receiver or two. There's also no guarantee, Davis, that Perryman this time next week is still even on the Bears. But any interest here in a late round flyer or something? I mean, my gosh, if he can't make the team that he was on, I'm not really sure that this is a really big endorsement for him moving forward.
No, I think this is the exact opposite of a spot. You know, we just talked about his old teammate, Tyrell Williams, right? And I think this is basically exactly what we are talking about, which is people talk themselves into these guys in bad situations, like holistically bad situations, where it's hard for our minds to be like, well, this guy might have, you know, 22% of the targets or whatever, but those are just going to be useless targets. We see this with bad, like the Texans, right? Brandon Cooks going in like the 9th round of drafts because people are like, well, he's going to get all this volume, but it's just bad volume. Like, what is the point of that volume? So, and by all reports, Perryman basically like could not play this summer, like was just had like one of the worst training camps of all time. So I am not interested. Though, if I wanted to say one guy who got waived and signed by a new team at wide receiver who is interesting to me, Tyron Johnson was cut by the Chargers and just got signed today by the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is a spot where I would be slightly interested in a true late round flyer.
All right. So there you go. Keep an eye on that in deeper leagues, 15 teamers, last round players. Of course, we are getting you ready for the upcoming fantasy football season, and we have another hour to do it here on Sports Grid. So make sure you stay with us, because coming up next, we got Chris with the update. Then Davis and I will run through everything happening in the world of fantasy sports. Plus, we'll mix in a discussion with Matt Friedman. Of course, we'll do that. We've got Fantasy Reality and also the Sports Grid 60. As a reminder, for those of you who have checked out our Sunday show from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Fantasy Sports Today, we're taking the week off, and we will be back to help you win your first week of the fantasy football season 1 week from Sunday. Here, we're off for Labor Day weekend. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of FST. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.